Today's second reading continues our journey through Paul's letter to the Philippians. Now, as I mentioned last week, it might be interesting to know that Paul wrote this letter to the young church in Philippi while he was in prison. He was sent to jail for his faith in Jesus and for following Christ's command to spread the good news to all the world. Even in jail, though, Paul remains convinced of his God-given gifts for the service of all God's people. Even in jail, Paul continues his God-given mission to spread the great good news of God's love in Jesus Christ. This section begins with Paul boasting about his qualifications to be a confident apostle. Paul says he is circumcised, an outward sign of belonging to the Jewish people for men. Paul says he is a member of the nation of Israel. Paul says he is of the tribe of Benjamin, one of the 12 tribes of Israel named for Jacob's 12 sons. Paul says he has Hebrew parents. Paul says he is a Pharisee, a religious leader known for being a stickler for the rules and the laws. Paul says he is a persecutor of the church. Paul says he is blameless under the law, those laws that guide the path and direct the feet of faithful people. Those many qualifications that Paul lists make him seem to be the ideal person of faith. After all, Paul seems to have many things to boast about. It makes sense that Paul would begin this letter this section of the letter to the young church in Philippi with that long list of qualifications. He is indeed a faithful person according to those standards. But there's a problem. All the qualifications Paul mentions are flesh-based, as opposed to being spiritually based. His list is rooted in the law, in the flesh, in earthly things. Concerns that Paul mentions about religious heritage and knowledge of laws, they're very flesh-based. Then comes the word that turns the reading around, yet. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. Everything before Christ was one way, yet. And there's that word, yet now with Christ, everything is different, everything is changed. All those reasons Paul had to boast about are no longer nearly as important as believing in Jesus and knowing Christ Jesus as our Lord. With the birth, life, ministry, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, there is a transition away from a faith rooted in earthly things to a faith rooted in heavenly things. Those flesh-based things that Paul started his reading about, they no longer matter under Christ. They have no consequence. Paul even goes so far as to say those reasons he is confident in the flesh should be counted as loss. Things that actually distract him from the life of spiritually based faith. All those reasons Paul boasted about that made him, like he says, confident in the flesh, he now regards them as rubbish. All of Paul's flesh-based qualifications are of no value when considered in the light of Christ, specifically when considered in the light of Christ's resurrection. After all, what could be further from those law-based, those flesh-based qualifications than the power of the event that breaks the law, even the very laws of nature, to bring about the beginning of a new sort of faith? I wonder how I would start a section of this letter to a young church, to people just starting their lives of faith. After all, like Paul, I have some things I can boast about. I have degrees, I went to seminary, I'm ordained, I walk around in a clergy collar, I celebrate the Eucharist, I preach God's word, yet, like Paul, Yet all those things I can boast about should be considered rubbish, especially rubbish in the face of Christ's resurrection. What matters is not the things of earth I can boast about. The only thing that matters is faith in Jesus. In the same way, how would this church start a letter to a young church? After all, like Paul, there are many things we as a church can boast about. Last year, we fed close to 10,000 people through our feeding ministry. This church is generous with our time and talent and treasure. We make valiant efforts to reach into the community. We try very hard to get our children involved. We have been a presence in this community for more than 300 years. We have a lot to boast about. Yet, and there is that word again, yet, like Paul, all those things we boast about should be considered rubbish. Paul tells us that all we do is rubbish if it is purely flesh-based. Instead, Paul tells the faithful people of the church in Philippi, as well as the faithful people of today's church in Edison, that all we do and all we are must be faith-based. To use a different image, we cannot rest on our history. Paul says we need to forget what lies behind. We cannot focus on all the good we have done in the past. Instead of resting in the pride of our past, Paul calls us to strain forward to what lies ahead. What does lie ahead? What is our goal? Paul says our goal is nothing less than the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. What might lie ahead for us, the faithful people of St. James Episcopal Church? Yes, we want to grow. Yes, we want to become financially solvent. Yes, we want to grow our outreach into the community. But if these future thoughts and plans and goals are rooted in the earth, in the flesh, then they really need to be counted as rubbish. If our actions, whether as individuals or as a community, if our actions are rooted in a desire to have more to boast about, then those actions need to be counted as rubbish. Both as individuals and as a community, we cannot boast of flesh-based achievements or of earth-based goals. Our goals must instead be rooted in heaven, in our belief in Christ, and in our belief in the power of Christ's resurrection. As our service this morning continues, let us examine what we might boast about. If we find ourselves boasting of the things we do instead of the things we believe, let us pray that God will realign our goals and plans, placing them in line with our belief in Christ and the power of Christ's resurrection. Amen.